Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour two. It is a Friday in Los Angeles. Angels, Dodgers, big weekend baseball series. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, Alex Curry, who will be covering that series, is joining us. Big baseball series in Los Angeles. Two really talented teams with two really spotty bullpens. So it'll be wild games, back and forth, seven inning on, leaking runs everywhere.
That's exactly what it's going to be. But you're going to get a good show. You know, they both have all-star players on both teams. It's going to be a fun one. Plus, everyone should be watching Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. Throws over 100, leads baseball in homers.
10 home runs, yeah, throws over 100 miles per hour. He's incredible.
Baseball doesn't promote him much.
No, they need to. He needs to be up there as a face of baseball, an international superstar.
Yeah, baseball's not great at the marketing thing. They're not. They're just not what they do.
Get Shohei Ohtani out there.
Yeah. So, Peter King in a couple of minutes. So, this is, the headline of this story is, here is the reported asking price in a potential Aaron Rodgers trade. It should be, here is the speculation in a potential Aaron Rodgers trade. A high-ranking NFC executive. So this, you know, this is a big exec at the top of the food chain, NFC. Same conference Aaron is in. Said the market for him is two first-rounders and one second-rounder. And my thought is, well, if that's it, no wonder Green Bay doesn't want to trade him, if that's the market. God, if that's the market, Ron Rivera, coach of Washington, should go to Malibu and stalk Aaron for the next 2 months or buy a membership to some Marriott club in Green Bay and stay there for 3 months. That's all you got to give up? Herschel Walker, a running back, was once traded for three first-rounders, three second-rounders, and four players. Aaron just had the greatest statistical season of his career, was the MVP. Two first rounders and a second rounder, that is it. You know who I think the GM or the executive was? It was Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, who put that low ball offer out there so every other GM would go, that's all they're asking? Get the Packers on the phone. Because that is a nothing burger. If I was Aaron and that's all I garnered, my ego wouldn't be bruised. I'd love it. Because I want to go to a team that doesn't have to give up everything. What you don't want to do, I said this yesterday, Carmelo Anthony's a Denver Nugget, says I'll only play for the Knicks. And so the Knicks were trapped and gave Denver a ton. And then Carmelo Anthony ends up on a Knick team that's all of its best assets are now in Denver. What you want to do is if you're ever moved, they don't have to give up much. So that story, that is nothing. Two first rounders and a second. Now, that may be the starting point, but Sam Darnold went for three picks. Carson Wentz went for a third rounder and a second rounder, and one of those can become a first rounder. So that, to me, it starts with a young player. If I'm Green Bay, I would want a young, very talented player that I got 3 years until I have to pay him, like Jerry Jeudy, Denver Broncos receiver. He'd be my number two receiver alongside Devontae Adams, and I don't have to pay him for 3 years. So he's cheap, then I want three firsts, a second. That's the starting point. Like, I'm not answering the call unless we can start there. Three firsts, a second, and a player who can play. A lot of times general managers, and this is the way it kind of works, a lot of GMs don't want like six picks for a player because your team gets really, really young. And as you all know with draft picks, 45% of first rounders end up not being any good. I was talking to Chip Kelly last night, who now is the UCLA football coach, and I asked him, I said, what's harder, evaluating high school talent to college or college talent to pros? And he goes, none's easier. They're both unbelievably hard. You just have no idea. You think you know, and you don't know, and you can do all the homework in the world. So, I mean, you even go to Alabama and Nick Saban. If he brings in 25 players a year, about 6 to 7 are great. 7 to 8 are good. And then there's guys that just don't. They get hurt. It's grades. It's behavior. They transfer out. They can't play. And that's Nick Saban. That's the best. He's offering the 5-star guys. What about programs that have 3-star guys? So there's a lot of questions with Aaron. Let's go to Peter King, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America. I've read so much on this. I'm going to ask you, here's the easy one. Here's the easy one. Has Aaron Rodgers actually asked to be traded? Do we know the answer to that?
I don't know the answer to that, Colin.
All right.
If he hasn't, he's come right to the edge of the cliff, or his agent David Dunn has. But I can't report that with certainty. But I think he does want to be traded.
Okay, that's the second thing. You do think he wants to be traded. You do this morning. You say that with certainty.
I think he wants to be traded, yeah. But I don't think the Packers are going to trade him, at least right now. I think this is a situation that's very much like Carson Palmer exactly 10 years ago when they went through the whole offseason. And Palmer said, I'll retire if I have to play for the – if I'm playing for the Bengals, I'm not playing anymore. And so they ended up trading him in October to the Raiders. But at the start of it, the Bengals had no intention whatsoever of trading him. They were just going to let him sit. And then it got to be October and the Raiders called, and the rest is history.
Do you believe James Jones, Aaron's good friend, said yesterday it's fixable? He talks to Aaron every day, I imagine, or close to it. Do you believe it's fixable?
I believe it's May 7th, and it's hard to say that for the first time in history, the MVP of the NFL playing at the height of all his power would absolutely unequivocally be traded. It just, when the team absolutely unequivocally does not want to trade him. I just think it's too early to really say absolutes about anything. If you ask me, do you think he's going to suit up for the Packers? I would say the chances are less than 50-50 that he will. But it's just so hard to know 3 months before anything matters. There's a lot of time for things to be fixed. Now, you know, I've heard from other people close to Aaron, absolutely he does not want to play for the Packers anymore. So is it fixable? I suppose anything's possible. And James Jones knows Aaron Rodgers a lot better than I do, so I trust him more than I'd trust me.
Let me throw this out there. The NBA is more labor-driven. The players have more power. Baseball, they get 10-year contracts. In the NFL, you know, the harder you work in college, the worse team you go to in the NFL, and if you're a quarterback, you are trapped. They can franchise you, which I just think is an awful, I don't know why players ever agree to the franchise, but they do. You can be literally trapped. So Russell Wilson, who by all accounts is a good guy, go Hawks, decided a couple years ago, I'm going to go out there and I want more money. And I was told by a credible source, he had told his agent, shop me around. He got a new contract. Aaron this offseason, not happy. No more go Hawks. Said get a better offensive line. They did. Now he appears to be happy. My point is, even the good guys, you feel trapped. I mean, Tom Brady did a documentary, allowed the documentarian.
Gotham Chopra.
Yeah. Great guy. Yeah. To put in there his wife saying, hey, he's not respected. Could this just be a cry for help? Hey, restructure my deal. Get me Julio Jones. Admit you whiffed on Jordan Love and let's move on. Could it just be that he's just saying, like Russell, fix the problem. I'm not the problem.
I think he's, there's so many things about what you just said. Number one, how huge of a problem could they have going 26-6 over the last 2 years? You know, they're a really good team as it is. But I do think, I don't think this is about his contract. I think this is about him feeling like he's not really respected within the organization. They don't want to know his ideas or what he thinks about this or anything like that. I think that is is the biggest problem at its base right now. And you would think that something like that is fixable. But if they've had two or three sessions alone with him out in California and it hasn't been fixed yet, what will fix it? You know, my theory right now, Colin, what could fix this is Mark Murphy, the club president, basically acting as a conduit and saying, okay, look, Aaron's unhappy because of X, Y, and Z. And the team's structure is that, you know, the front office picks the players, the coaches coach the players play, and never the twain shall meet. But, you know, if I right now am Mark Murphy, I'm trying to be the olive branch guy.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say to Aaron, okay, Aaron, if we did X, Y, and Z, you know, if you have a session with Brian Gutekunst, you know, say twice a month for a half hour after a Friday practice or whatever, and you just, you know, you say what's on your mind. I mean, those are the kind of things, those are the kind of ideas that, at least in my opinion, might be able to bridge this divide.
So one of the questions I ask every single NFL player I bring on the show before the draft, dozens, I'll ask them one question. And I preface it by saying, I ask every player this. How many practices does it take to be able to tell, oh God, that guy can't play? Or, oh my Lord, that guy's going to be great. And Peter, to a player, the answer is always shockingly low. Two practices, four, a third of a camp. We had a guy, Sam Acho said the other day, two practices, and I knew my quarterbacks in Arizona, they weren't the guys. And so they've had over 100 practices with Jordan Love. Is it possible if they knew he was Josh Allen, this is really solvable, and that maybe Green Bay just missed, and they know they missed?
I think it's possible, Colin. You know, you hear things out of every NFL team, and I do hear things about Jordan Love, but it's totally unfair. How can you know about Jordan Love? Remember, in Aaron Rodgers' first training camp, I remember Bob McGinn writing about it, and it was bad. You know, he didn't look good either. So I think it's really unfair to just say, is Jordan Love ready? How would anybody know if he'd be ready? There were no preseason games last year. He hasn't played. All he's done is throw footballs in practice. And of course you can get a gut feeling about that, but it's impossible to know enough about whether Jordan Love can play or whether he can't play, in my opinion.
Let's segue to the 49ers. Really interesting. I didn't love Mac Jones. I said I think he should be the fifth quarterback drafted. That's what it feels like to me. If you're struggling with Garoppolo's ceiling, then why draft the guy with reportedly the lowest ceiling? And I do think in a division with Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, Mac Jones would not look the part very early, and his teammates in the locker room would know it. I did like Jed York. I have this theory. What Jed York came out a couple times earlier this week, and he said, listen, we're going to play Garoppolo. He could be here 2 years. And I want you to respond to just my opinion on this. You only gave up a second-round pick for Garoppolo, and he got you to a Super Bowl. Peter, you already won the trade. Don't worry about winning it again. Just keep Garoppolo until the wheels come off. I don't see the value of moving him. Do you?
The only way they were going to move him, Colin, is if they got a first-round pick. Nobody ever offered him a first-round pick. So I think it's wise that they keep him. Now, of course, it cost him $24 million, and that's a lot of money for a guy who might not play the full season. However, you know, if you look at the 49ers over the last 4 years, the years that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have run the show, if you look at those years, when they had a quarterback for a full season, they went to a Super Bowl and had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. The other 3 years, when they didn't have a quarterback for the full season, they went 6-10, 6-10, and 4-12. So, I mean, I always thought even if they could get a one, I didn't love the trade for San Francisco because they need to have a quality backup quarterback so their season isn't over if the first one gets hurt.
I don't know. I always love the draft. Not everybody does. A lot of people think it's just nonsense. I watch a lot of college football. Therefore, it's a convergence of the NFL and college. And it, to me, I love both sports. Do you ever have a feeling after a draft or an off season? I thought the Chargers had a very good off season. I thought the Browns had a very good off season by getting a play caller on the back end of their defense from the Rams, a really heady kid who, you know, this is a kid that can direct traffic back there. He's not just a player. I thought the Chargers, the fact that Herbert was as good as he was with an atrocious offensive line just speaks volumes of his ceiling. So I did think Cleveland and the Chargers, I wake up this morning and think they got better. They haven't played a game yet. Those are better football teams. Do you buy into that, or your history in this league, do we make too much of off-season acquisitions and draft picks?
Almost always we make too much of it. I remember 20 years ago, Washington won the off-season like 3 years in a row, and I think they were over 500 in one of those 3 years. And so I think we get in a little bit of trouble when you start to think that somebody has had a glamorous off-season. However, I see exactly what you mean with the Chargers, because they upgraded massively in two positions on the weakest position group of their team, their offensive line. They really needed to get better there, and they got better. They might have gotten the best center in football in Corey Linsley. So that is definitely a plus. I also think one of the ways that overall they got better is that, in my opinion, I think the last 2 or 3 years, you know, that Brandon Staley has been involved with a team, you know, the Bears, Denver, and then the Rams. Each one of those defenses, he put his imprint on very early. And I think their defense is going to be very, very good. So I think the arrow is pointing up for the Chargers.
By the way, we've had in the last couple of years, Brady abandoned a dynasty. Aaron Rodgers, the day of the draft, oh, I want out of here. His buddies are saying he didn't leak it, but, you know, I'm a little cynical on that. You got Russell Wilson calling it out. You mentioned the Carson Palmer thing. Do you remember, take me back to the first NFL player that went out publicly and demanded a trade? I don't even remember. I mean, it feels like the NFL is becoming a little bit like the NBA, where players are like,
yeah,
I'm happy, get me out of here. I don't remember it in the 70s and 80s at all, or early 90s. Do you?
No.
I know.
It didn't happen. It's almost like when you were drafted by a team, you just sort of, you were with that team for life.
Yeah.
You know, I started covering the NFL 10 years before free agency began. And so I think, Colin, one of the big things that has changed in the NFL is the empowerment of players. In, you know, when I started covering the NFL in 1984 in Cincinnati, you know, there were a bunch of guys on that team who rolled their eyes at how the Bengals were run. But what choice did they have? They were property of that team. And I think what you've seen in the NBA recently, you saw with James Harden, you know, you saw with Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. You know, players say, hey, look, I'm not playing anymore. That's it. You got to trade me or else it's over. And, you know, you saw that a little bit now in the NFL, and you're starting to see it a little bit now. Brady, even though that's a totally different thing, he just became a free agent and he left. He didn't want to play for the Patriots anymore. He's gone. Aaron Rodgers says he doesn't want to play for the Packers anymore. We'll see. And so I do think this is a little bit more about the empowerment of players than it used to be.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I heard a story about 6 months ago that Dak Prescott had made over $50 million in endorsements for Dallas. And I'm like, wow, that's like an NBA player's shoe deals. When you can give players that kind of money, of course they feel empowered. Of course LeBron feels empowered. He can't walk out and go to a restaurant. I mean, Dak is making $50 million in endorsements. So I do, and now I don't think it's necessarily bad. I really don't. I think Russell Wilson, frankly, was right. I do think the offensive line hires have been, and draft picks have been weak. I don't know. How do you? I'm kind of for the player. When I came out of college, Peter, I knew I could have a 50-year broadcast career. These guys get 7 years of peak physical prime, and then maybe 12 years total. I don't blame players. I don't mind if they go a little diva. Does it bother you at all?
No, it doesn't bother me. And plus, Colin, it doesn't do any good to say, man, it was so great in the old days. Because the old days aren't here anymore. It's meaningless. You got to adjust to the times. I think the smart teams basically have learned to adjust to the times. You know, I'm writing a little bit about Miami in my column on Monday. And one of the things about Miami that I really admire is that the general manager, Chris Greer, has basically had full power now for 28 months. He's made 28 trades in 28 months.
Wow.
And you look at all of the general managers now. When I started covering the game, I doubt George Young made 28 trades in his career. I don't think he did. And Chris Greer basically says, you know, we're not going to be afraid. We're going to do whatever we can to try to help make this team better. And look, time will tell. Is he right? Is that the right way to do things? Or are more conservative GMs doing things the right way? We'll see. At the end of the day, though, I mean, it really depends on how well your players play. For the Dolphins, it's going to depend on Tua.
Yeah. Peter King, NBCSports.com, Football Morning in America. Good long visit today. Peter, great seeing you on a Friday.
Thanks a lot, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to ebb and flow in this sport. You get rigid, you're in big trouble.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sunday on FS1, the stars of NASCAR go old school with a throwback race from Darlington. Catch some of the most iconic rides as they hit the track for the Goodyear 400. It all starts Sunday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. And our Throwback Week celebration will continue today on Fox Bet Live at 5 Eastern right here on FS1.
We did a throwback trivia contest this week. People on Instagram loved it.
Ooh.
Well, we showed... you know, players, and you had to go back and ask, you know, who was the last team they played for. I'm still embarrassed that I didn't know that Scottie Pippen, the last stop he made was 1 year with the Chicago Bulls.
Went back.
And I asked Ryan, I asked you, I'm like, I don't remember it. I covered him in Portland. I watched the Bulls. Houston broke down. Like, I thought I knew it. And then he went and played. The rest of them, I actually remember – Akeem with the Raptors, Shaq with the Celts, we all remember. And I remember Patrick Ewing, sadly, for about four games with Orlando. I don't remember Pippen a second time with the Bulls. I have no recollection at all.
Still not when you're thinking about it today?
No, do not. Just. And by the way, you know, it's funny. Like, occasionally in this business, you take a summer vacation. You take 10 days off.
Yeah.
And when I take a vacation, I, like, shut it down. Like, mm-hmm. I don't watch any TV. Like, I'm family, I'm done, I put my phone down.
You have to.
So that's what I do. So there have been times that this happens two or three times in my career. Something's happened in the 10 days. I come back, it's no longer in the news cycle, and 6 months later I ask the guys, when did he get traded there? And they're like, yeah, it was in August. I'm like, oh, I was off my phone for 10 days. So maybe it was one of those where I was just on vacation. I don't remember it. I was paying attention to other stuff. But apparently Pippen went back, played 1 year with Chicago. Shame on me. Grilling season is here. Go to butcherbox.com/herd. If you go today, you get the free essentials bundle free in your first box. It's 3 pounds chicken breast, 2 pounds pork chops, 2 pounds ground beef, free first box. Got to go to butcherbox.com/herd. And Alex Curry now with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, it is the hot topic of the day and the week because the rift between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers won't be ending anytime soon. But that doesn't mean the two sides can't come to a resolution. Former Packer James Jones is close with Rodgers and speaks with him often. He said Aaron is not the type of guy to be leaking all of this inside information, and he believes the situation is fixable. The Athletic also reported this week that the Packers were willing to make Rodgers the highest paid quarterback this offseason, but those talks were turned down from the reigning MVP. So
okay.
It's obviously clear money is not the issue here.
Well, it's also clear, according to this story, is that they offered him and Aaron wasn't interested. And
yeah.
Peter King said that. So I don't know. Aaron's friends are now saying it's fixable. I'm going to be a cynic here.
Okay.
So Aaron wants out. It gets dropped, regardless of who the source was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little uglier. There's more anti-Aaron press than Aaron's comfortable with. And so now he's, you know, sending his surrogates out, James Jones and A.J. Hawk, maybe his buddies.
Yep.
And to just soften the blow. There was a story earlier this week that was just out of the blue. You know, Adam Schefter was talking on Dan Patrick and said, you know, by the way, this was not a source on draft night when I leaked it. This was an accumulation of stuff. And Dan Patrick smartly asked, well, then why would you drop it on draft night? Mm-hmm. I am very cynical on this. So Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, and Ian Rappaport, excellent NFL reporters, all at the exact same time on draft night, the exact same five-minute frame, reported the same story. And I'm supposed to believe it was just happenstance and coincidence. It wasn't leaked by somebody close to the story. Well, you know the Packers didn't leak it. There are no value there. You watch their draft room, it was a morgue. So I am a little cynical.
Oh, yeah.
Where did the story come from? So now you're saying The Athletic is reporting Green Bay reached out to him, mm-hmm. offered to make a deal, and The Athletic now reports he said no.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm not anti-Aaron Rodgers, but I'm cynical that now his buddies are all going out and they're softening the blow that it's fixable. It's certainly, it just, you know, I what's the old, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Like I'm sorry, but
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Okay, I'm not, I've earned the right over 30 years to be a little cynical that it's not coming from Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm a little cynical on that.
It's coming from inside of his. This is calculated. It is so calculated. And even the aftermath of having his friends talk about it, saying it is fixable.
Why would the three great NFL reporters at the exact same moment drop the story?
That doesn't just happen.
Well, what that
they
tells
you. They get the information from someone.
Well, right. That tells you it's coming from a single source.
Yes.
Not a bunch of sources. It's all landing. And yes, I don't think it's coming from the Packers. So I am cynical on that.
Yeah.
I do think Aaron feels trapped and wants out. And by the way, between Jeopardy and his Hollywood girlfriend, Andy's from Northern California. Andy has a $40 million house in Malibu. Andy trains out here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not banging on him for it. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I told my wife the other day, I went for a jog. It was 72. And I was looking at weather around the country. And I'm like, this is a good place to live. It's if you got money and you can live in an enclave like Malibu, mm-hmm. and it's 72 every day, there's a reason, you know, he lives next to superstars and Cindy Crawford and CEOs. And, you know, he wants a change of scenery and he's over the cheeseheads. I get it.
Yeah, I think it could really go either way. It really could go either way. I truly believe anything is fixable if you make the right offer. Are the Packers willing to give him everything that he wants? I don't know. But again, I'm also biased. I'm born and raised here in Southern California. It is beautiful. If you have a chance to get out here,
do it.
Do it. Yeah. All right, we're moving on to the Lakers because things are not looking good for the Lakers as the regular season winds down. LeBron is dealing with an ankle injury and Anthony Davis got hurt again in the team's loss last night. They're barely hanging on to the sixth seed in the West right now, and Charles Barkley is not feeling confident about the Lakers heading into the playoffs.
Let's be realistic. They could play the Warriors. They could play the Blazers. They could play the Mavs. So the notion that they even New Orleans, I told you, New Orleans to me is the team that overachieved the most.
Underachieved.
But the notion that the Lakers can just show up and beat New Orleans, Dallas, or Portland, I don't like their chances.
Yeah, I would want no part of Golden State.
No.
Steph Shear, I would want no part of that.
This was the biggest concern with the Lakers this season. Could they stay healthy? Can they stay healthy? And they're not. And the biggest thing, I feel like a broken record, I've been saying this since the start of the season, they didn't get the proper rest they needed in the offseason.
Old teams need time off.
Your body needs that. Your body needs to heal. They didn't get to properly heal, and then they didn't get to rev it back up to be in shape to where they needed to be. And we're seeing it with LeBron at 36 years old shutting down, and you're seeing AD shutting down.
I'm going to make a prediction that the Clippers and the Bucks meet in the finals, and my belief is we dismissed both of them after last year.
Yep.
And the NBA has always been a baby steps league. You just don't get a great player. Even LeBron, when he went to Cleveland, won the second year. Went to Miami, won the second year. LeBron became a Laker, won the second year. This idea that Kawhi and Paul George would just swoop in first year championship.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
So Milwaukee is healthy. They added Drew Holiday and PJ Tucker. They match up well. The teams ahead of them aren't as healthy. And the Clippers,
they
again.
Looked good last night.
Yes. I mean,
they
blew the Lakers out. We have this feeling. Go look at LeBron's career. It's been the second year in every place he's gone. They didn't win in Miami the first year. Mm-hmm. So, like, all of a sudden, we think the Clippers are going to, with their history and Paul George and Kawhi, I'm going to go Clippers, Bucks, and the Bucks beat them.
I think I don't even want to think about that right now, but we're moving on. Russell Westbrook has been putting up huge numbers recently and is closing in on Oscar Robertson's record for triple-doubles in the regular season. He's gotten criticism for padding his stats and never winning an NBA title, but Robertson recently came to Westbrook's defense on that topic. He said, "I think he's one of the elite guards in basketball, and I think it's ridiculous some sport writers criticize him because he has not won a championship. Players don't win championships by themselves. They've got to have good management, and you got to get the right group of players around him."
Well, he's had good players.
He had the great players around him on the Thunder.
Yeah. I mean,
he had the players.
I think Westbrook now, as his career is getting closer to the end, he's going to have his supporters. Oscar, I don't know how many titles Oscar won. I think maybe one. Oscar could defend him because Oscar maybe is saying, "I didn't have the players around me." And
mm-hmm.
But I honestly think if you're in any business for 20 years or 10 years or 15 years, your reputation is earned and fair. Westbrook is a mega talent who can be hard to play with. Albert Pujols just left the Angels. One of the best right-handed hitters in baseball history. That's his legacy, and that's exactly what he is.
Yep.
Top three right-handed stick of all time. All right.
Yeah.
And Russell Westbrook plays a little bit in the tunnel. Players often play better not with him, but an all-time athletic hyper-speed talent.
Yeah.
And that's completely fair. He's not the kind of guy like Iverson who's going to end up with a bunch of championships, but he is going to end up with a bunch of fans. And that's fair. That's what he is.
Fans and stats. But I think any player would trade all of those stats for the most important stat, a championship.
Agree. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Is Brooklyn having a revelation on Kevin Durant? Talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
TommyJohn.com/herd. Check out their site. 20% off your first order if you go there now and put in the code TommyJohn.com/herd. Good merchandise. Good merchandise. So it's interesting. You know, I've been talking about this all day about you can run, but you can't hide from your problems. Kyrie Irving dropped 45 last night. Kevin Durant played. And Brooklyn lost to Dallas. It's funny. So I didn't like James Harden's game initially, and I think it's very dependent on the whistle. That's why he struggles in the playoffs. In the playoffs, you don't get the whistle. And it's almost like I'll give you an example. It's not perfectly analogous, but in baseball, knuckleball pitchers can be fine in the regular season, but they don't have a good track record in the postseason because you get contact on knuckleball pitchers. What wins in the postseason is I throw the ball past you, and you can't put the ball in play. Justin Verlander's, Curt Schilling in their prime, I throw it past you. So knuckleballers can work at certain times, but Tim Wakefield was a great knuckleballer. He wasn't very good in the postseason. Schilling was great in the postseason. And Harden, similar to his game, is built for the regular season primarily, which is he gets the whistle. In the regular season, you get it. In the postseason, the refs step out of the way and let the players take over. And the further you get in the playoffs, the less you get the... By the NBA Finals, it's rugby out there. And So Harden has always been a great regular season player. But it is interesting. Without Kevin Durant this year, Brooklyn is 21-8 with Harden and Kyrie, or just Harden. And at one point, they won 20 of 22. They were the hottest team in the league, playing the best basketball in the league without KD. With KD and Kyrie and no James, Brooklyn 7-8. Okay. So Kevin Durant left the Warriors because he wasn't the man. And I said, I don't get it. Who gives a rip about being the man? You can win five titles out there. Great coach, great GM, great teammates, you know. So he left Golden State because he wasn't the man. Now he goes to Brooklyn. He's not the man. They win without him. And what they need him to do is not score, which he's great at. What they need him to do is play defense. Because James and Kyrie and their bench, you got plenty of scoring. That ain't the issue. The issue is we don't have an athletic big that can guard bigs. But he didn't want to play defense. At this point in his life, you don't want to bang it around for 40 minutes trying to guard Giannis. So when he went to Brooklyn, I thought it was an elevation. He thought it was an elevation of Kevin Durant. And what it's really been is exposure. It's kind of exposed him, which is physically and emotionally, you don't want him being the lead guy. Leader, not necessarily. And now I question his value. How valuable is he? They won 20 of 22 without him. And it makes me think James Harden is a lot more valuable than the credit I've given him. I always thought he was talented, but I mean, this team cannot win without Harden. Kyrie drops 45. KD plays. So what? Can't beat Dallas. Tells you James Harden's pretty valuable. Other stuff today is this Aaron Rodgers thing. The Aaron Rodgers stuff is crazy. So the day of the draft, Adam Schefter, Glazer, and Ian Rappaport, but let's talk Schefter, kind of dumps this story. Aaron wants out. So I just heard that. I didn't get to hear this. This came out a few days ago, that Schefter was on with Dan Patrick. And I'm suspicious that suddenly they all line up and have it. I think some individual leaked it. My guess is Aaron Rodgers. But Dan did a nice job interviewing Adam Schefter and asking him questions that needed to be asked about that news dump. And Adam saying it is not Aaron Rodgers, and I'm a little cynical on that.
So you chose to break the news on draft day?
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and it was nothing that morning that came in. That okay. All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source. I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason.
And it just happened to be draft night that you dropped it, aligned with three other reporters. Sorry. Been in the business too long. Don't buy it. Don't. Are you calling Adam Schefter? Yeah, I'm calling his bluff. I don't buy it. And I think now Aaron's sending out some surrogates to soften it a little bit, not looking like the bad guy, because I don't think it's great for his brand. He reportedly got booted in a minor league baseball game, or a likeness did. I don't know. The great thing about anonymous sources, you can always deny the story. So I can't prove anybody wrong. First, I thought Dan did a great job. Those are good questions. Dan seemed a little cynical. I'm very cynical. It just you'd really drop it at that moment. I don't know. Again, I can't prove it. A lot of things in life I can't prove. I can't prove it, but I don't think there are Martians. I think all these UFOs are drones. I can't prove it. I think they're drones. I think they're military operations. Don't kid yourself. China and Russia love to spy on us. Can't prove it. A lot of things I can't prove. Still think it. And I'm just saying it. I'm a little suspicious of that. Excellent questions, though. Excellent questions. Yeah, I had all this information. I just decided just right before the draft to drop it. I don't know. I have a right. I have earned the right to be cynical. Mm-hmm. It's not a good way to be in life, but I am on that occasion. Powerful ingredients backed by science. MDriveForMen.com. Today, free shipping, nothing to lose. Makes you leaner and stronger. Cuts fatigue. Hour 3 next.